In spite of everything you're hearing, the fact is that the great majority of the emotionally normal and healthy young people of our time still maintain a standard of continence before marriage and monogamy and fidelity within marriage. A high percent of those who are making all the noise trying to convince us to go another way are an emotionally disturbed, often psychoneurotic minority. They influence many others. Some people are simply mistaken. Those nations who have reached the highest peak of creativeness, culture, wealth, education, and stability have consistently been those who have maintained a delay in entering into full sexual activity while young people are preparing for full adulthood, and then have restricted sexual activity to the monogamous embrace of marriage. Cultures in which free love has existed have never really gotten anywhere, and major nations who have gone the way of free love and promiscuous sexual involvement have soon decayed and been overthrown by more vigorous, stronger cultures.
At the beginning of the reasons here, it was that the ultimate physical expression of love is to go farther on than just kissing, and instead of cutting it off, otherwise it's physically frustrating if you quit, and along this line, I think we ought to be realistic and take a look at marriage. It's going to be open field day every day in marriage. Well, I think you have to be realistic. There's days when husband is traveling, there's times of illness, there's times right before the baby's born or postpartum. There are other times maybe when wife has been up all night with a sick baby and has had, you know, an exhausting day, and the loving thing that night certainly isn't for husband to want what he wants. So it isn't just a question of total openness in marriage. It's also a question of showing your love, maybe, by thinking of what's best for the other rather than what I want here and now tonight. And this is what really helps to build a marriage, to see that someone else is concerned enough about you that they will wait to express their love in this way and express their love by waiting for you. It has to be this kind of loving the other person enough to say no too.
You see, sex doesn't stand alone, it says something. The fact of sexual intercourse can be a brutal assault, rape, and that says, I hate you, I'll destroy you, I'll use you. It can be pure recreation, it can be exploitation, it can be that husband on Friday night who comes home from a bad road trip, lost every sale he tried, he's really goofed, he isn't sure he's got a job, he doesn't know where he's going to get the next mortgage payment from, he's depressed, he's a failure. In the intercourse that night, his wife is saying to him, I think you'll make it. I trust you. I love you. I want to give you strength. Go back and try again. That's what that intercourse said. And sometimes it's the little lady who is depressed and down and upset, and his tenderness and lovemaking to her gives her strength. Sometimes we at Mary's couples have been out and it's been a great night and I just got a bonus and we've come home and let's have a ball and it's just plain fun. And then it might be our anniversary night and we've been out together reminiscing our favorite songs, the greatness of the life we've known, and that night we can rise in our embrace to the magnificent heights of love that this union of ourselves totally can mean to us. It can testify to the magnificence of love, and it can descend to the depths of hate and degradation. Physical contact between a man and a woman is what it says. Your greatness in your sex life later on will not be because you've practiced sex, but because you've become a great person and have chosen a great person to marry.